Good morning, everyone. So, yesterday we discussed a little bit and did some practice on Cheresek Avalokiteshvara. And today we are going to do the practice of meditation on Manjushri. Again, you know, Manjushri is the manifestations of all the Buddha's enlightened wisdom. Just as Cheresek was the manifestations of all the Buddha's compassions, here the Manjushri is, you know, manifesting that form, but in essence it is the all the enlightened wisdom in that form. So when we do a practice in regard to the Manjushri, then again, you know, indirectly we are doing the practice in relation to all the Buddhas as well. When you make a, you know, prostration, making offerings and so forth, you know, even though what we visualize is one, but it is the same as doing the all Buddhas, because the Manjushri embodies or is the manifestation of all the Buddha's wisdom energy. And as we mentioned yesterday, sometimes you see also Manjushri in the form of, can manifest as in the form of Bodhisattvas as well, and also ordinary beings and so forth. But the one we use in our meditation is in the form of Buddha Sambhogakaya form. Many great practitioners, meditators have found very helpful to improve their wisdom by relying on Manjushri and by engaging in the practice in relation to Manjushri. So Manjushri is, you know, the manifestation of inner qualities of the wisdom, which is another very important quality that one needs to achieve fully enlightenment. You know, as Chandragiri will say, you need the two wings of the bird to fly over the ocean of samsara to the other side of the nirvana, and the two wings, the method and the wisdom. And yesterday we talked about the method, today the wisdom, you know. And those both qualities are extremely important to achieve fully enlightened state. Not only that, both qualities are very important to be benefit to other sentient beings. You need both compassion and wisdom. Even if you have compassion, if you don't have the wisdom, you know, we will not be able to be much help as much as we want to help. Even if we have the wisdom, if we don't have the compassion, you know, we will not help reach out because due to lack of the compassion. So again, you know, even in our, while we are in samsara, while on the path to be able to help and benefit others in one step more, we need those, to develop those qualities more and more. And so here, and so many great masters, meditation practitioners have relied on Manjushri to develop their wisdom. Lama Tsongkhapa himself, you know, the founder of our lineage, also very much relied on Manjushri, you know, to develop and increase his wisdom as well as to make many of the decisions, important decisions and so forth. You know, so Lamadrung Gava rely on mentorship in all, you know. His Holy Dalai Lama also shared a story of his. He said when he was young, you know, he was encouraged to do the mentorship retreat, and he did. And then after he completed that retreat, he felt like his understandings of the scriptures was more profound, and he could kind of somehow feel the effect of that, you know, his wisdom. And that has been that we have heard many, one of my also main teacher who passed away, you know, Khyentse Lobsang Seren. He also mentioned about his experience, you know, about having done that Manjushri retreat, you know, he found some changes in his ability, you know, and so many others, masters have had similar experiences, and because of that, you know, in the monastery, you know, like as a young monk studying, you know, you are encouraged or to do retreat on Manjushri or recite the Manjushri mantra every day. The first in the morning when you get up, you know, or you will sometimes you will hear in the monasteries, you know, when they get up, all the children or the monks, you know, kind of reciting that. And again, you know, because it's related to wisdom, and many great practitioners have found, you know, by relying on that, their wisdom, their memories improving, their wisdom improving, their ability, you know, to understand the meaning of the scriptures, you know, improving, you know, their ability to explain more clearly, improving, you know, so they have found that. So in the same way, if we also rely on the Manjushri with such convictions and faith and engage in the practice, then also it can also help. It can be also helpful in improving the wisdom. And in terms of wisdom, in the great wisdom, the clear wisdom, you know, the quick wisdom, the profound wisdom, you know, the seven wisdom, you know, the wisdom of explaining, the wisdom of, you know, composing or writing, the wisdom of debating, you know. So again, all those wisdom can be improved, can be helpful to improve those wisdom as well. So Manjushri, you know, again, you know, most time is presented as very youthful, you know. And again, I think that youthful also symbolize the freshness, you know, of the mind, clarity and freshness. That we need that clarity, and the wisdom is that help us to do clarity, you know. And so again, it represents and symbolizes that. And even though there are many different Manjushri, but most common Manjushri is, you know, orange color. And that orange color again symbolizes wisdom, light. You know, wisdom light, dispelling the darkness of the ignorance and darkness of all the delusions that are rooted in that ignorance. So again, with the color, you know, also represent and symbolize that. And in Manjushri, you know, you see his right hand holding the wisdom sword, And that wisdom sword again represent the sword that cuts the delusions from the very root of it, you know. So, and also at the sword, you also see, you know, the flame of fires. Again, the fire, the light, the flame, they all, the sword, each of them symbolize, you know, the wisdom overcoming the delusions, the wisdom cutting the delusion, the wisdom, you know, burning the ignorance and the delusions that arise from that ignorance. And then, as we mentioned, the color itself, the youthfulness itself, all this, all of that represent and remind us the quality of that deity Manjushri represent, you know, and also the implement that he holds. Also in his left hand, you know, holding the lotus, you know, stem of lotus, and again with the first finger and thumb, you know, and then on top of that lotus, you know, then there's the scriptures. And that scriptures is Prajnaparamita scriptures. And Prajnaparamita scriptures is the teachings or the scriptures that explains the path of the wisdom of emptiness. And again, that also scripture symbolizes and represents the wisdom. So also, not only the all of that, also the mantra of the, you know, Manjushri, you know, that also represent and symbolize the quality, inner quality of the wisdom. Mantra, the meaning of mantra, you know, is a two-word mantra. Man means the mind, and tra is protections, protecting your mind. So protecting your mind through such practice, you know, protecting your mind from ordinary appearance and graspings. And through protecting yourself from such ordinary appearance and grasping, then we protect ourselves from all the, you know, negative feelings, thought that arises because of impure appearance and graspings. And thereby it protects us from, you know, all the sufferings which are a result of such impure appearance and graspings. So when you do those practice properly, correctly, you know, then it has so many benefit on so many different levels, you know, immediately and then, you know, on long term, you know. And as we mentioned, when you recite that, we make connection to that deity, and the more connection we have, the stronger connection we have, the more we are able to receive in terms of blessing, in terms of inspiration, in terms of all of that, you know, how much blessing we are able to receive, how much inspiration we are able to receive, you know, how much we are able to transform our mind in relation to that. It also depends on very much how strong connection we have with each of those deities. And so again, when we engage in the practice and such practice, meditation and mantra in relation to that, and you know, we also create that strong connections build that stronger connections. And when it's in certain practitioners, you know, when they have that strong practice and strong connections, then they have, you know, access to such deities, sometimes through dreams, sometimes in the visions, sometimes as seeing person to persons. You know, so some of the meditators and practitioners, you know, when they have any kind of questions in relation to their practice, and when they ask those questions in their practice and meditations, they get an answer in their dream. And then those practitioners who have even more stronger kind of, you know, connections and who have higher level of practice, then, you know, not only dream, they can actually, in meditation, they can have the visions of the deities and to be able to, you know, connect and communicate and receive the help, spiritual guides. And then, you know, in some cases, you know, then it's said, you know, they can actually communicate not even just vision, but in as directly as person to persons. And it's mentioned Lama Tsongkhapa's relation with Manjushri was like that later part. At the very beginning, Lama Tsongkhapa didn't have access to Manjushri himself, but one of his teachers, Lama Bhumapa, who had that, and he used to communicate through his teachers when he had some spiritual, you know, questions that he tried to understand himself by reading the commentaries, by analyzing himself, but not being able to clarify some of those doubt or points. Sometimes he relied on his teachers, you know, asking the questions to clarify some of those little points, difficult points. And sometimes even with the teacher, maybe, you know, unable to clarify some of those. And then sometimes he, you know, through the help of Manjushri, that he clarifies those points. So that is how, you know, when we engage in such practice, and as our practice improve, and, you know, and as our ability and spiritual realization improve, and then, you know, how one can have such different level of access to such deity and to be able to receive help, spiritual help in such way. And then in terms of the mantra, the meaning of the mantras, you know, Omara Basanati, sometimes, you know, the mantra is known as Arabasana, you know, Arabasanati, or Manjushri's mantra, you know. Di is the sixth syllable, okay? As we mentioned, Shri is the sixth syllable for the Avalokiteshvara Chedasa. Di is the sixth syllable. Then Om Arabasana, you know. And then when you count, when you include the D, then Om Arabasana D, you know. Om, like yesterday, similar, you know. So Om is the kind of the beginning of the mantras, auspicious, and as well as we mentioned yesterday, you know, it has three letters that symbolize the goal, spiritual goal of, you know, enlightening body, speech, and mind. And then, you know, here, Arabasanati, Arabasana is the path that lead to that goal. Arabasana show the path that help us to transform our unenlightened body, speech, and mind into enlightened body, speech, and mind. And in one of the explanations, in one of the according to one of the teachers, masters, ah represents or you know or meaning, you know, the direct understanding of the ultimate reality. As in some teaching says, you know, when you kind of when you contents all the teachings of the Buddhas, especially Prajnaparamita Sutras, you know, then there is, you know, 100 verses, and when you contain, then it contains in the shorter, middle versions, 20,000 sloka or verses, and then it can contain within the 8,000, and then, you know, shorter and shorter, then such as Ha Sutra, and then in A. So A symbolizes emptiness, as well as the wisdom realizing that emptiness directly. According to that explanation, Ra, A-Ra, you know, Ra represents the selflessness or emptiness, and according to the explanation of that is explained in according to the Hinayana scriptures. So that is more kind of growth level of the emptiness or selflessness. The selfless, you know, certain disciples or individual might have difficult understanding the emptiness as explained in the Heart Sutras, the empty or inherent existence, you know. And for them, as Buddha explained in the, you know, such as the first turning wheel of Dharma, then their selfness is, you know, the persons or phenomena being empty of, you know, permanent, partless unity, as well as is empty of substantial Rajatubha, autonomous, substantial autonomous, empty of substantial autonomous. So that presentation of selfness or emptiness is much more grosser compared to the presentation of the emptiness or selflessness that is presented in the second turning wheel of Dharma, Asutras. So Ara, so in that way, Ara present the both gross and subtle level of selflessness, and the wisdom realizing both gross and subtle level of selflessness. Ara pa, pachana, pa. In that, according to that explanation, you know, then it represents the meditations. And the meditation is the tool that, or the bridge, or the tools that help us to have experiential understanding that lead us from intellectual understanding to experiential understanding. First, we have intellectual understanding of emptiness, selflessness. But in order to have really transformations, that intellectual understanding is not enough. It's the beginning. You have to go beyond the intellectual understanding. Until we have experiential understanding, then you know it will not be able to really hurt the ignorance and the delusion so much. So how can we get from intellectual understanding to experiential understanding? It's through the meditations. Through the meditation. The meditations is the bridge, is the tool. Of course, when you talk about meditation, then there is, you know, analytical meditations, thinking, and non-analytical meditations. You know, some might use the word non-thinking, placement meditations. And together, the combined, you know, the unit of non-analytical meditation of shamatha and then analytical meditation of vivasana, or the special insight, through the union of that two meditation, then, you know, one is able to develop, you know, direct experiential understanding of the selflessness or the emptiness, and develop that wisdom. And that wisdom will act direct antidote towards the ignorance, which is the root of all the delusion, and the delusion itself. And once we have that, then you know you started to have, you know, less afflictive emotions arises. And even it arises sometime at the very beginning, you know, it's not strong, very subtle, and very short. Then slowly, slowly, you know, then there's no more arising of the delusions. As you improve on the path, and you progress on the path. Arapasa pa arapasa. In that explanation, you know, it explains sa represents, symbolize, and samsara and nirvana. And samsara and nirvana is again a state of mind. When your mind is not free from the delusions, then it's samsara. When your mind is free from all the afflictive emotion, it is nirvana. Samsara and nirvana is not some places. We are in samsara because our mind is not free from the delusions. Our mind is being under the control or influence of the delusion, therefore we are in samsara. When our mind is free from the control of that delusions, when we are able to free from that delusions, our mind, this very place, with this very body, you will achieve nirvana. Yeah. Even after we have studied so much, sometimes we feel like samsara means getting out of this world. You know, I don't want to win samsara, meaning that I don't want to win this world. And as though there is another kind of place and world where it is free from all this problem. When we have no more afflictive emotion, delusions, nothing can disturb your mind. Things happen same as is happening, things are changing, happenings, but it doesn't affect your mind negatively. It doesn't disturb your mind. It doesn't disturb your peace. And that is what nirvana is. So, not understanding emptiness lead to samsara. Understanding emptiness lead to the nirvana. So, samsara, the nirvana, whether we remain in samsara or whether we achieve nirvana, it depends on whether we understand the emptiness, the selflessness or not. As long as you don't understand, as long as you don't understand the emptiness, will continue to remain in samsara. Once we understand emptiness, then one will start, you know, getting out of samsara. So, also there's understanding that there is no inherent existing nirvana and samsara. Samsara and nirvana is, you know, dependent arisings, mutual dependent arisings. Therefore, they are empty of inherent existence. And when we understand that, understanding the empty of inherent existence, then one is able to free from the samsara. So, that was arapatsa. And then, according to that explanation, you know, na, arapatsa na, you know, na represents, symbolize the actions, the karma, you know. So due to not understanding the emptiness, you know, then we engage into unwholesome actions. And due to that unwholesome actions, then we experience suffering. On the other hand, when we understand emptiness, then there is no more accumulating of negative karma or actions. One engages in all the virtues, uncontaminated virtuous actions. And with that kind of uncontaminated virtuous actions, then it only leads to happiness, not only happiness, high level of happiness. And D, then, you know, as I said, so also with the net actions, then also it comes compassionate actions. And with that compassionate actions, so then metta, the compassion, can be included in that. And in that way, this arapasannati represents the whole path. The whole path of the wisdom, compassions, and the result, the nirvana, non-abiding nirvana. And the way to achieve that highest level of wisdom and compassion is through the practice of meditations. So that in that, then it includes the whole path to that. And so when we do visualizations, when we do the practice from the garlands of mantra and the syllable at the heart of Manjushri, you know, we try to visualize, imagine pouring down light. Yesterday we did with the nectar. Today we do the light. Again, the light symbolizes the wisdom. Nectar symbolizes the method. You know, and since Manjushri is more related with the wisdom, so then in that, then instead of nectar, we'll try to do the light. And that, okay, yeah, that also like, also when you do vasasattva practices, that also changes a little bit, you know, depending on when you do vasasattva, according to Jagasambhava, normally you see instant purification through the light. When you do the vasasattva according to Yamadaga and others, it's kind of flow of the nectar and cleansing and purifying. You can find slight small difference. And because depending on, you know, Jagasambhava is Mother Dandara, which emphasizes on the wisdom, clear light wisdom, whereas Guhyasamaja and others is the Father Dandara, which emphasizes on the method. And because of that also, even though in the both practice you find vasasattva purification at the very beginning on practice, preliminary practice. Individualization, that is slightly different of that. So I think that's all. They like the sound.
I thought my sound file was corrupted because it just kept going.
Normally, you try to keep recite as much as possible within one breath. You know, when you do, as we visualize, you know, we can visualize from the Manjushri, city, you know, light comes, or from his heart, and then from heart to his, directly or from his heart to the mouth, and these syllables enters in yourself, and then in your tongue, on the tongue of your, you visualize D, and then as you recite D, you know, it's dropping like waters of these to that D and the mantra you visualize in your heart, and then that D becoming more and more brighter, with more and more brighter wisdom, then it clears the darkness of the ignorance in that, and then as well as purifying and cleansing the the illness, the negative karma, the delusion, obscuration, all of that. So here the D syllable symbolizes again that wisdom, exalted wisdom of the Manjushri. And so with that, you know, when you say D, you know, with each D, you know, it's like from that D on your tongue, you know, dropping of more and more D. And as you drop that more and more D in your heart, and D in your heart become more and more brighter, you know, more and more stronger. And so that is kind of visualization you do in relation to that. Other than that, I don't know. But yeah, when you do that, you recite the main mantra of Mahārāpasa, not the, you know, 7 times, 21 times, one mala, or more than one mala, how much ever you want. And then the end, at the end of that, then you do DDD in as many, as much as in one breath. I don't know, but also when you do that DDD with one breath, I don't know, there is some other form that's related with chakras or with a breath or something, I'm not 100% sure. But sometimes it feels like there is something when you do with that one breath, with that the sound, with that. So maybe we can do the practice. Keep your back straight, if possible. That will help to have more clarity. At the same time, try to relax. Don't be too uptight. And feel the weight of your body on the cushions, on the chair. Then breathe in and out naturally. And observe mindfully as you inhale and exhale. And be aware of what you observe. once your mind is settled down, in present with the breath, then we can think. In this practice of the Manjushiri become cause and conditions to increase and improve our memory, the great wisdom, the clear wisdom, quick, profound wisdom, as well as to improve the wisdom to explain, debate, and write. So we can be more benefit and help to oneself and all sentient beings. And may it be cause and conditions to achieve our highest potential, a fully awakened state, so that we can be not only health benefit, but greatest health benefit. And not only to some, but to each and every sentient beings, limitlessly. Then the space in front of you, above your crown, you visualize lotus on top of lotus, there's a moon cushions. In the center of the moon cushion is seated Manjushiri. Right hand holding the wisdom sword, left hand holding the stem of the lotus flower, on top there is the Prajna Paramita Sutta scriptures, holding that. And in sitting Vasara positions, golden in color, orange, gold. Wearing all the celestial garments and all the ornaments. And buried in a youthful form. And again, very light body, like a rainbow body, not concrete, physical like our body. Also think that Manjushiri is the manifestation of all the Buddha's wisdom. Manjushiri encompasses all the Buddha. Also, Manjushiri is inseparable from our root guru. And try to reflect, contemplate on the suffering of all sentient beings in six realms. Even though nobody wants suffering, but they continue to experience suffering. Some of them already suffer, some of them too suffer, some of them suffering or pervasive. All of them are experiencing the suffering of all pervasive 24 hours all the time. Some very intense suffering of heat, some very intense suffering of coldness, cold. Some very intense suffering of hunger and thirst. Some the suffering of ignorance, some the suffering of sickness, aging, death. Some the suffering of, you know, constant conflict, fight. And some the suffering of fear as they experience the sign of death in their futures. And everyone is experiencing the suffering of being prisoner and a slave of the karma and delusions. So try to reflect and try to feel their pain, suffering, and try to generate strong compassion mind of wishing, wanting to them to be free from all the suffering, cause of suffering. In order to liberate all sentient beings from all this suffering, cause of suffering. I must achieve fully awakened state of Manjushri. Therefore, I'm going to engage in this practice of Manjushri. Manjushri will achieve or actualize the highest level of compassion and wisdom and skillful means. So with that, then we go to the refuge in Bodhicitta. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly by my practice of giving and other protections. May I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. Reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present love for every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulate in beginningless time, and rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of sacred existence and attain the word of Dharma for all beings. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to the great enlightenment. This crown and other perfumes, the flowers adorned with my merit for holiness, the sun and the moon, and many days of Buddha fear and offering. May all living beings enjoy this pure. Idam Guru Rana Mandalana Miryataya. Then for immeasurable, as we recite each of them, we take a few moments to feel each of them. May all sentient beings have happiness and cause us happiness. Okay. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and causes of suffering. May all sentient beings not be separated from high rebirth and the place of liberation. May all sentient beings abide in a state of equanimity, free from attachment and hatred, free from holding some close and other distant. Praise be Manjushri. I bow down to you, O Manjushri, with the brilliance of your wisdom, O compassionate one. Illuminate the darkness enclosing my mind, enlighten my intelligence and wisdom, so that I may gain insight in the Buddha's words and texts that explain them. So then, visualize and imagine at the heart of the Manjushri, there's a moon cushions. On top of the moon cushions, there's all these levels standing up. And surrounding that is the mantle, Parabhadana, clockwise, all standing up, transparent. So again, that these six syllables in the mantras are not just ordinary letters or syllables, but they are that exalted wisdom of the Manjushri manifesting in that letter with that sound. That has the energy forces to clear and cut all the contaminated karma, delusion, obscurations completely. As we recite from the these syllables and guidance of mantras, kind of orange yellow light flow and pour down into oneself from the head to down. Cleansing, purifying all the illness. All the negative karma, contaminated karma. All the defilements, especially misunderstanding or not understanding the ultimate nature of our mind, the ignorance, being completely cleansed, purified. As well as the subtle obscuration being clean, purified. So while keeping that visualizations, we try to recite Om Arabhasana De, Om Arabhasana De, Om Arabhasana De. Ara Pasanati. Om 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 Ara Pasanati. So imagine, you know, your whole body is filled with that light. And not just a light, but again, that wisdom light. And completely eliminate and purify all the illness. All the negative karma, all the contaminated karma, delusion, obscurations. Especially, you know, not understanding the true nature of the mind. Doubt about true nature of mind, or misunderstanding of true nature of mind, the ignorance of true nature of our mind and all phenomena are completely being cleansed, purified. There is no trace of that negative energy left at all. All gone, completely empty. And yourself become like crystal clear without any trace of any negative energy. Transparent, light body, like a rainbow body. that will decide more, you know, again from the descendable and balance of mantra, more light, wisdom light, full flow into oneself, and receiving all the blessings of enlightened body, speech, and mind, or mentally, and especially all the spiritual realizations. And particularly, the great wisdom, clear wisdom, quick wisdom, profound wisdom, the wisdom of explaining, debate, and writing. That is the source of having benefit to oneself and all sentient beings. So imagine, visualize, you know, and that light radiate, increase more and more in within. That wisdom light. Om Arapazanati, 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 Om Om Arapazanati, 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 Om Arapazanati. Om Arapazanati, Om Arapazanati, Om Arapazanati, Om Arapazanati. Om Arapazanati, Om Arapazanati, Om Arapazanati, Om So again, visualize, imagine with total convictions that we receive all the inspirations, and all the blessings of the enlightened body, speech, and the mind of Guru Manjushri. all the spiritual realizations of Lamrim, Umguru devotions, after union of normal learning, especially receive the same, the special realization of wisdom, especially those seven wisdom, and whole our body is made of those wisdom light, each part, every atom, every cell, every heart is made of that wisdom light. Our body become very light. We experience great bliss due to the spiritual realization, especially the wisdom light. Then Guru Manjushri dissolve into the light, and the light absorb into yourself. Your most of the body, speech and mind, and the Guru's holy body, speech and mind become one in subject. As well as your body, speech and mind, Guru body, speech and mind. In the day, the Manjushri's holy body, speech and mind become inseparable one, all one. There is no separate guru from your own Dharmakaya mind, wisdom. And there is no separate Manjushri from your own Dharmakaya wisdom mind. Both of them are manifestations of your own Dharmakaya wisdom mind. Then you yourself dissolve into the light. Smaller, smaller, and dissolve into emptiness. There is no concrete inherent existing I, self, totally empty of that. When analyzes deeply, there is no such inherent existence self to be found. Totally empty. rest in that emptiness, that vast, spacious. Without any limitations. Then cultivate a wish to be help, benefit to sentient beings. From that wish to be help, benefit to sentient beings, the wisdom relies in that emptiness. Arise as the light, and the light manifests into yourself. Okay, so then we do the dedications. Due to the merits of this virtuous action, may I freely attain the state of higher mentorship and lead all living beings without exception into that enlightened state. May the Supreme Jewel Bodhisattva that has not arisen arise and grow, and may that which has arisen not diminish but increase more and more.